So I suspect if you look at the Dalai Lama's speeches, or if you have a chance to encounter him in person as he travels through North America or the rest of the world, this is where you will hear him start. We suffer and we want to be happy. And then he often stresses the increasing interdependence of the human community. Not just the interdependence of phenomena that make up the human personality, but the interdependence of all human beings in the world. This is an important theme for him. This reflects the image of interdependent co-arising that lies behind the second of the Noble Truths. But it often has a political spin, and a spin that ties him and his own aspirations together with the aspirations of other people in the rest of the world. When he offers positive solutions to the problem of suffering, he often builds his moral arguments on the foundation of the Bodhisattva's compassion. In fact, if you want to know what compassion sounds like and what kind of arguments you can use to promote compassion in the world, the Dalai Lama is not a bad place to go. He speaks simply, he speaks eloquently, but his arguments come right straight out of the ancient tradition of India. There are two particular arguments that he often uses as what you might call tools of meditation for the development of compassion. One is an old Indian ideal of visualizing everybody in the universe as being your mother in a previous life. How could you not express compassion to your mother and feel some sense of connectedness to her? If everyone has been your mother in a previous life, there is a deep bond of sympathy and compassion that you can build on in your relationships. This old form of meditation is something that connects well with him, and he preaches it eloquently to his audiences. He also uses a funny, more technical meditation on compassion that's well worth thinking about. It comes from an 8th century Buddhist text in India. It's called The Exchange of Self and Other. He says, if you feel anger, if you feel envy, there's almost something tantric about this, the way it's presented often in traditional texts. If you feel anger, if you feel envy, if you feel even a certain kind of destructive rage against other people, don't feel it on your own behalf toward others, but let them feel it toward you. Put yourself in their shoes and feel that anger toward yourself. It's a funny way of taking anger and not denying it, but transmuting it, recognizing that it's there, but using it as a tool to try to develop some compassionate bond between people. Very interesting idea, and it's one that he often uses, especially in his relations with the Chinese. He is very fond of saying that he's grateful to the Chinese for having taught him patience and given him an opportunity to meditate on the virtues of compassion. Another thing that the Dalai Lama often does that you may encounter if you try to seek him out in a more technical Tibetan setting is to give initiations into a tantric teaching known as the Kala Chakra Tantra. This is a particular tantra that comes from a late period in India, and it has to do with establishing the sovereignty of the Dharma over a particular space. The Dalai Lama is a political leader, and I think often he, in subtle ways, attempts to convey his sense of political authority through the teaching of the Kala Chakra Tantra. It gets people thinking about him not just as a religious teacher, but as somebody who embodies in many respects the solid power and strength of the Dharma Raja. The Dalai Lama also makes important statements about significant public issues, and it's intriguing to see which ones he selects as being particularly noteworthy. Human rights are important for him, of course. Why? Because one of the things that he wants very much to do is establish the human rights of the Tibetan people, their right to some form of autonomy or self-determination. He also is concerned about the exploitation of the environment. This is a theme we haven't talked about very much in Indian and Tibetan Buddhism previously, but it's a theme that's significant for the Dalai Lama. And then, of course, he's very much concerned about the oppression of minority peoples, as you would expect from his Tibetan experience. Now, from the Chinese point of view, he's not necessarily a benign figure because he represents in the modern world this nascent Tibetan aspiration for self-determination. But I feel that for us, as students of Buddhism, he is a remarkable embodiment of this tradition and one well worth listening to, well worth getting to know better in order to understand how this tradition can be brought to the issues of contemporary life.